Okay, so good morning, everyone. Have we said that already?
Yes.
Good to see you too. So we're on the final part of our series called Fully Clothed. And today we're going to look at the very final last piece of our jigsaw puzzle. By now you should have, I think, a pretty good idea of what spiritual clothing we've all been given to wear. And you know, one of the last things that Jesus said before he ascended to heaven, in Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus said this: "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." So here we have that Greek word enduo, meaning to sink into clothing. It's been our theme word through the series, I guess. The word power here, you know, it's the Greek word dunamis, means an inherent power. It means a miracle working power. It means the power residing in a person or thing by virtue of their nature. That word is in the New Testament 121 times. It gives us words like dynamite and dynamic and dynamo. And then finally, the word on high, hupsos, literally means from heaven above. In other words, directly from God himself. Jesus said, stay in the city until you have been clothed, enduo, with power, dunamis, from on high, hupsos. Parallel verses, Luke 4, verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Luke 9, verse 1, he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority of all the demons and to heal diseases. There's a picture here that Jesus himself was robed with the dunamis of the Holy Spirit. And then he placed that same robe over the shoulders of his disciples as he sent them out into the countryside. And then here's the promise for us. Acts 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And further, Paul wrote this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, that's God's glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So did you know that the expectation as his followers is that we should be clothed with power? Our Christianity should not be powerless. Should be powerful. You know, and we should be recognized by the spiritual clothing, this robe of dunamis that we wear. Remember Elijah and Elisha's mantle? Picture of this. You know, Elisha had to be physically present when Elijah died so that he could take possession of the mantle, that the prophet's cloak, which represented Elijah's authority and anointing. That's where we get our expression, take up the mantle. This is why in the New Testament story, the woman with the issue of blood just wanted to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, because she knew exactly what robe he was wearing. Elijah ascended, his mantle was passed to Elisha. When Jesus ascended, his mantle was passed on to his church, signifying the transfer of authority and anointing from one party to another. And hence, Jesus' final words to his followers, Luke 24, verse 49, stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And of course, Pentecost Sunday was just a few days away, the day that those disciples themselves felt that mighty rushing wind. felt those burning tongues of fire, signifying the moment that they were filled with power from on high. And I love the way that that enduo dunamis transformed those early disciples. Think about it. Peter was opinionated. He was reactive. He famously denied Jesus three times at crunch point. But he was transformed into an inspired, radical, bold preacher of the gospel, miracle work. You know, the Bible says that people just passed under Peter's shadow and they were healed. Think about John, son of thunder, what the one who wanted to call fire down from heaven, the one who asked, am I going to be the one to get to sit at the place of honor at your right-hand side, Jesus? Who was transformed into being the disciple that Jesus loved. The one who wrote that amazing book of Revelation at the end of our Bible. And then think about Saul the Pharisee, Saul the extreme legalist, Saul the cruel persecutor, who was transformed by enduo dunamis into, it's Paul, into the apostle to the Gentiles, into an advocate for grace and reconciliation. There's a lovely little passage in Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12, where it says that Paul did extraordinary miracles. He prayed over people's cloths and blankets and handkerchiefs, and they went back to people, and as they touched them, that power was transferred, and they were supernaturally healed right there and then. Extraordinary miracles. And the point is that Jesus' plan for us all, give your neighbor a little nudge and say, gentle nudge, and say, that means you. Jesus' plan for us all was that we should live and minister enduo dunamis hupsos, clothed with power from on high. And today I want to delve into what that means for us. It's a massive topic, of course. In fact, I taught a 10-week series on this just 2 years ago, start of 2023. Some of you may remember that. And so, can't cover all that this morning, you'll be pleased to know. So I've just narrowed it down to three specific areas where that power, that mantle, that endowment, if you like, has the potential to revolutionize our lives. Anyone like the sound of that? Okay, and the three are this. So in summary, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit so we could be clothed with power in these three areas. Number one, clothed with power to exhibit the character that comes directly from the nature of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, the power and ability to sow holy seed that produces supernatural fruit. Number one, we'll break these down in a moment. Number two is power to resist temptation. In other words, the power and ability to win those constant, repeated, practical battles that we all experience. And then number three, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit so we could be clothed with power to be witnesses for Jesus. Acts 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So just quickly, 5 minutes-ish on each, we'll work our way through these three. Number one, we have been clothed with power so that we can exhibit the character that comes directly from the nature of the Holy Spirit. So that power is not a spooky force. That power is not, it's not goosebumps. That power is the person and personality. It's the character and attributes of God the Holy Spirit. Now, the first clue is in the name, Holy Spirit. Everything that is contained in the word holy, it is part of the character and the nature and the personality of the Holy Spirit. And we should be robed, We should be wrapped, we should be sinking NGO into that. That should define who we are. It should inform what we do, and it should become what we are known for. As we walk through any door, people should see that holy mantle all over us, actually. Just as they saw Joseph's multicolored, multi-technicolored dream coat, whatever it was. Just as they saw Aaron's priestly robes. Just as they saw Elijah's prophetic mantle. So they should see on us the clothing of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the fundamental principle that undergirds this whole course is that I need to throw off my old clothing. You know, that self-righteousness, that those works of the flesh, any impure motives, personal agendas, self-seeking ambitions, they need to be thrown off. And instead, we need to put on, we need to endure, we need to sink into God's dunamis power from on high. In other words, selfishness in me dies and powerful God in me comes to life. My flesh is subjugated and the Spirit is attended to. He must increase and we must decrease. And so every time I walk into another room, remember that I am clothed in duo dunamis hupsos, clothed with all the Holy Spirit is. I'm clothed with all the Holy Spirit does. I'm clothed with the richness of his character. I mean, let's face it, how we all long to be more patient, more gracious, more kind. How we'd all love to be wiser and more insightful, more helpful. How we'd dearly love to be able to give people the very thing they so badly need from the Lord. And here it is. You have been clothed with power from on high. You wear that mantle. And the key is to sink into it. Enduo, to increasingly recognize it and to understand it and then to utilize it. We need to learn how to yield to it. But I think here's the problem. We tend to ignore it. We tend to inadvertently put back on those old robes of the very best I can do. Instead, we need to put wrapped round tight our shoulders this robe, this mantle of dunamis power, and start to tap into the unlimited potential of all that he can do. So whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, simply tug a little tighter on the cord around your waist that holds this garment in place. Pull it snugly over your shoulders. And say something like this: in this situation, in this conversation, dealing with this decision, facing this dilemma, I know that I am clothed with power from on high. That I have access to all the power and the wisdom and the goodness of God the Holy Spirit. And then we do exactly what the Holy Spirit shows us. The thing that you can sense bubbling up on the inside of you as you follow that lead, that impulse from the beating of God's heart. And so that mantle gives you power to exhibit the beautiful and attractive and pure character that comes directly from the nature of the Holy Spirit. And hence the ability to sow the supernatural seed that reaps that holy harvest of righteousness. Number one. Number two, we are clothed with power to resist temptation. You know, this is where the rubber meets the road for all of us. This one is extremely good news. Because you know what? We're all wrestling. We're all contesting. And if we're honest, we're often struggling. We're all in a spiritual battle with those feisty, antagonistic, unrenewed inner voices that goad and mock and entice us. But the good news is that once you have that garment wrapped around your shoulders, you have access to all the resisting power that you could possibly need. A couple of verses for you. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation, say no temptation. Now say it like you mean it, no temptation. I could almost fit in Tulsa, I think. Not quite. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also, this is good news, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. I just want to read that in the Amplified because it's so good. God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature. And he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. This is quite a sentence. But with the temptation, he will always also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. And here's how you do that. Galatians 5 verse 16, and so I say, walk by the Spirit and you just will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Let me ask you this question. Have you learned what that constraining voice sounds like? That convicting and encouraging Holy Spirit voice on the inside sounds like? Do you recognize it? Are you sensitive to that voice? Or have you become a little bit resistant? Are you listening out for it when you need it? Or have you learned to drown it out? Because whatever you are facing, whatever you are staring at, whatever you are wrestling with, that convicting and directing and correcting power of the Holy Spirit is calling out to you. See, the point is you are clothed with power from on high. And that power is not insufficient. That power is not lacking or elusive in any way. It's not something that the person sitting next to you has access to you that you don't. There is no temptation too great. No mountain too high I'm tempted to break into song. There is no ditch too deep that power cannot cope with. And so you have wrapped around your shoulders like a cloak. You have the power, all the power you need to resist temptation. All the power you need to say no. All the power you need to choose godliness, to resist the urge to gratify, to ignore that lust, to overcome that greed, to subdue that pride. And let's face it. Without that power, it's tough. You know, there are mountains and hurdles. There are ditches and potholes. There are awkward people. Not in this room, of course. There are hurts that keep screaming at us. And this is why Jesus famously said to his puzzled disciples in John 16, verse 7, as he introduced this person called the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, He said, it is for your good. It is to your advantage, he said, that I'm going away. You know, that must have been really, really bizarre for those disciples. I mean, Jesus was there. He was present. He was with them. He was helping, guiding, teaching. He was doing miracles left, right, and center. And Jesus turned around and said, good news, folks. It's going to be to your advantage that I go away. They must have been puzzled. But what Jesus is saying is that essentially, friends, right now, You are dealing with all of this stuff in your own strength. Yes, I've given you the law, but quite frankly, you are powerless to keep it without the enduement of the Holy Spirit. But this is why this is good for you. That power is coming your way. And you will then have within you all the power you could possibly need. Again, all the power you need to say no, and equally all the power you need to say yes. All the power you need to obey the tough imperatives of Scripture, to submit when your flesh is antsy, if you know what I mean by that. All the power you need to forgive when that offense cuts deep. All the power you need to bless those that curse you and to love everyone who hates you and even to pray for those who are persecuting you. And the reality is all of those things are unquestionably tough things to do in our own strength. In fact, in our own strength, often they are just too much. But we're not supposed to do it just in our own strength. That's the point. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. I mean, the reality is you are going to have to endure it. But the good news is he will provide the way. Again, Galatians 5 verse 16, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And in the context of this series that you've patiently sat through for 6 weeks, if I'm still wearing that old clothing, guess what? But we're not. We are no longer limited. We are clothed with power from on high. You could be even more excited about that, church. You know, the next series, a little sneak preview, starting next week, the next series is going to be called Broken. Kind of the spirit behind this is it's time to break off those strongholds, and it's time to break off those limitations, and it's time to live NGO, dunamis, hoopsos. Right, number three. We're nearly there. Number three. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit so we could be clothed with power to be witnesses. You know, this is one of the primary reasons you've been given this clothing of power from on high. It's so that you can testify to the goodness and glory of God. It's so you can shine his light in the darkness. Here's that verse again, Acts 1 verse 8. Again, one of the last things that Jesus said to his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and as a result of that, because of that, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, Bidford, Evesham, Stratford, and to the ends of the earth. Do you know what? In our own strength and ability, we're just going to look like everyone else. If we're just wearing the same dirty, grey, soiled, unrighteous rags as everyone else. But we're not. Because we are endued with power from on high. You wear the dunamis power of heaven. You have all you need to shine the light of Jesus. You have all the courage you need to stand up for truth. You have ample boldness available to share good news with hurting people. You even have within you the power to lay hands onto sick people and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. You even have the power within you to say, demon, be gone in the name of Jesus. You know, that power is not there to make us feel good. That power is not there to make us look good. That power is there to make God look good. I tell you, you got this. Peter and John. One of my favorite stories in Acts chapter 3, you might remember the story there, going about their daily business. In fact, they're at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they come across a man there begging for money. You know what the words were? Scripture on the screen, I think. They said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." You all know the song. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And it says that he went walking and leaping and praising God. You see, Peter and John, essentially, they were saying this: I know the cloak that I'm wearing. I was burned with that Pentecost fire. I was blown off my feet by that mighty rushing wind as I stood there that day in the upper room. I know the clothing I wear. I know the dunamis that empowers and enables me. I know where it came from. I know what it does. I know how it works. And so although I have no silver and I have no gold, although I cannot solve all of your issues, I don't have all the answers for you, I'll tell you what I can do. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, if I can say it, rise up and walk. Why? Because this mantle on my shoulders, this dunamis from on high, gives me the power to be a witness. And this is why it's so important that we get this. It's so important that we learn to harness this power, that we learn to stand on the promises that prove God's word. It's so crucial that we display the character that attracts people to the light. It's crucial that we overcome the temptation that has the potential to destroy and discredit our testimony. Why? Because we have a job to do, which is to be a witness. Not just because you're a good Christian. Not just because people keep beating with you a stick that says you need to evangelize more. Not to appease any sense of guilt, nor to tick religious boxes. But why? Because you overflow with a power from on high. You are robed with it. It's your mantle. People can see it on you. And that power is there to lead people to Jesus. Okay, I'll ask the worship team if they wouldn't mind coming back to the front, please. Just pull all this together. Give you some challenge questions. If you've been listening, they won't come as a great shock. So the question goes something like this: Have you been endued with power? Do you wear that cloak? Have you learnt to draw from the well of that power? Here's the question: is your Christianity powerful? Or if you're honest, is it powerless? As I enter that, I'm going to give you three possible response suggestions this morning. An opportunity for you to spend some time on your knees, in your seat, as we worship, just asking the Lord these questions. Number one, response option number one, is to ask God for the power to exhibit the character that comes directly from the nature of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us would do well to ask that question. I'm sure you do all the time. But as we spend time responding this morning, just spend some time talking to the Lord about, Lord, what do I need to do? How do I access the power and ability? How do I go about demonstrating and shining this character that I know is resident within me because I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit? I know I'm clothed in it because you promised me that I would be endued with power from on high. So response number one is to ask God for the power to exhibit that character. Number two is to ask God for the power to resist temptation. And again, I know we're all in this tussle. We're all dealing with this all the time. But maybe for you right now, there's something that you are facing. There's a temptation that is staring you in the eyes and is goading and manipulating and mocking, enticing you. Bible says you have all the power you need to stand firm, to stand strong and say no and to resist that temptation. It may well be, as we respond this morning, that is a conversation that you need to be having with the Lord. And the third one, again, a great challenge for us all, is to ask God for the power to be a witness. And we're all trying to be a witness. We're all doing the best we can. But we're not limited to that, folks. And maybe that's where we've been going. Well, we try to do it in our own strength. We know we should. We have this dreadful ought to word. People keep reminding us about it. And if we go down that path, we'll always struggle. But the reality is the Holy Spirit is upon you so that you can be a witness. And as we witness, as we prepare to pray for, talk to people about Jesus, we need to learn how to tap into that power. And again, that will be a great conversation for you to have with the Lord this morning. You can do that in your seat. You might want to come to the front in this church over this side, my right, your left. We say, if you want to do business with God for any one of those areas, why not come to the front, make a little bit of a faith walk, get on your knees and pray those big bold prayers. Say, God, give me that power. Give me the power. The third option is you might want to go and see our prayer ministry team, who'll be over in this corner over here, where the youth once were. And they will gladly pray for you. They'll lay hands on you. They'll pray for healing for you. They'll, whatever it is you're facing, you're dealing with, they would be delighted to pray the power of God over you. They might even use anointing oil. So they'll be up any second now. So I invite you to stand. What we'll do is we'll go into a worship song now. I'll pray for a second. We'll go into a worship song that's designed to stimulate all of this. And then I'll pass back to Pete and he'll lead us through up to the end of the service. You've got 15 whole minutes. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all he did. We thank you for the victory that he won. I think we sung about that. We have a God who saves. We are on the winning team. We're so grateful for that. And Lord, the more I read my Bible, the more convinced I am that our lives should reflect that. That we should be powerful, not powerless. We should be bold, not timid. We should be full of God's love and not hate and frustration and all those things. But the reality is, Lord, we have been clothed with that power. We have everything that we need. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4, to live that godly life. Help us, Lord, to tap into it, to yield to it. Help us to understand it. Help us to unleash it. Help us, Lord, to rip off those filthy old rags of the old me and instead to step into the spiritual clothing you have given us so that we can exhibit your character and resist temptation and be a shining witness for the one who is the light of the world. So, Lord, as we respond this morning, Holy Spirit, just come touch us all, I pray. We ask for that encounter. Come and fill your people afresh with power from on high. In Jesus' name. Amen.